Welcome to Life Point Drivecast. Happy Friday to everyone out there listening. My name is Corey DeCaro, and I serve as a teaching pastor for our Plain City campus. On Sunday, we started a new series called Asking for a Friend. And in this series, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7 to get relational insight to help us believe correctly and treat each other carefully. In doing so, we're going to address some of the things that we're thinking, but no one wants to ask. And as we do, we're going to bump into how our upbringing, our personal experiences, and the culture affect our opinions, the things that we think are right, and the things that we feel are right. However, we always must begin with Scripture. We always have to begin with God's Word, which helps us address and answer life's toughest questions. In fact, that's our big idea for this series. We believe that God offers answers to life's toughest questions. And the question we're asking today and the question we ask this week is, why are Christians always fighting with each other? Because sadly, at some point, every human being has conflict with every human being. Doesn't matter if it's siblings, spouses, best friends, roommates, classmates, teammates, neighbors, even the lovebirds who are dating for the first time, to Christians, right? At some point, we'll have conflict with one another. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Christians in the Corinth church are having civil and relational issues between one another, and their issues are spilling out into the legal system, out into the public eye for everyone to see. So Paul writes a letter to them and addresses what's happening. And we quickly learn from what we're about to read that grievances between Christians are not unique, but how we respond to them should be, right? That we're going to have issues, and that's not a unique thing, but how Christians respond to them should be. So let's read Paul's response and instructions to the Christians in Corinth. It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Paul says, "When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to the law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you know that we are to judge the angels? How much more than matters pertaining to this life? So, if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between brothers? But brother goes to the law against brother, and that before unbelievers. To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers." Well, there's a lot here, but two main things Paul is really trying to drive home are this. Number one, our identity in Christ should determine our actions. Our identity in Christ should determine our actions. The origin story for a Christian's identity is this, that God created the world and that God created mankind to be in a relationship with Him, but sin entered the world and sin separated us from God and it broke our relationship with Him. And we could do nothing to repair that brokenness and that separation. And God, in His great love and mercy, He sends Jesus. And Jesus took the consequences for our sin on Himself, and Jesus made a way to repair that broken relationship with God. And Jesus defeated Satan, He defeated sin, He defeated death, and then Jesus reconciles us to God. So when God looks at a Christian, He no longer sees a sinner, He no longer sees our brokenness or our dirtiness or a person who's at odds with Him. We have a new identity, one where God sees us in Christ, washed white as snow, a new creation, justified, just as if I'd never sinned. He sees us as a child, a son, or a daughter. He sees us as a joint heir with Jesus. And in this new identity as a follower of Jesus, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many followers on social media. Your job title doesn't matter. The success of your kids in school or their sports doesn't matter. Being right doesn't matter. For a Christian, each day is where God loves you endlessly, and it's not based on your performance. Each day is a day where God sees you in Christ as His child, fully forgiven, fully accepted, fully loved, and fully included. Paul is drawing the Christians in Corinth to these truths. He's directing them back to their identity in Christ. And he's saying, you've lost sight of the fact that your identity should now drive and determine how you act towards one another. Well, Paul's also trying to drive home that our need to be right cannot supersede the gospel mission. That when we take our issues between Christian brothers and sisters and hash them out in front of the world, no matter what, it's a loss for everyone involved. It's a loss because allowing these issues to pour out and over into the world actually damages the name of Christ. It ruins a witness for Jesus, and it degrades the importance of the church, the body of Christ, and it harms the glory of God, and it crushes the power of the gospel. It brings into question and it communicates to the watching world, are Christians really a new creation? Do they really put off an old self and put on a new? Have they really stopped walking in the flesh and are they walking in the Holy Spirit now? Are they truly set apart and truly different? That's why Paul says here to the Corinthians, it's better for you to be wronged, defrauded, and suffer loss if it brings glory to God, if it advances God's kingdom, if it provides gospel conversation, if it carries out the mission of Jesus Christ. After all, isn't that what Jesus did for you and I? Jesus, the perfect Son of God, was cheated, lied about, wronged, suffered, gave up his rights, left equality with God, and emptied himself so that you and I might be saved, so that you and I could have a new identity. This is the mindset Philippians 2 tells us Christ had in coming to this world, and it also tells us this is the mindset we're to have as we live in this world. So as we close today, let's remember that we're always communicating something with our lives. And when conflict arises between believers, we have an opportunity to communicate Christ to one another and to the world around us. We have an opportunity to communicate that the gospel has truly changed our lives and given us a new identity. Let me pray for us, and then maybe take some time to reflect and see if there's any area where you need to apply the truth of God's word today to your life. Heavenly Father, we know we're not perfect and that conflict will be part of our lives as long as we're part of this world. But when those moments arise, help us to remember whose we are. Help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us to turn to the truth of your word and seek godly counsel. In doing so, as we navigate conflict, may we do so in a way that brings glory to your name, power to the gospel, and a Christ-like example to those who don't know you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.